looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. We have a really a feel-good show ahead of us. I can tell you that already. We've got my guest here I'm going to welcome on is Awilda Pregnano. I think I said that right. It was just fun to say it, too.
You said it perfectly, Lisa. Thank you. Thank you for having me on today.
This is so much fun and such a pleasure because, you know, we do have our topics that can get heavy, and it's not to say that, you know, this topic all about love can't be heavy, but you do have such a beautiful way that you shared it. And we are talking about your latest book, full-blown book that you put out, and it's called Loving Lulu. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read to everybody your bio so they know who you are and what's going on. And then Let's just dive in all about love. All right. So, Awilda was born and raised in the Windy City in the States, commonly known as the Land of Lincoln. Awilda has always had a passion for writing and since childhood dreamed of one day becoming a published writer. Her dream came true when she was published in the anthology, Follow It Through, Obstacles Equal Opportunities. You guys might remember that one. We did a whole series. The Real Journey of the Empowered Mom Boss and Your Shift Matters. Resistance to Resilience. Look at you. You're writing all over the place here. So, besides writing, Awilda enjoys traveling and exploring new places. And as a lifelong learner, she will someday be embarking on an international adventure. Ooh, and will be living and working in different countries around the world. Awilda engages very easily with everyone she meets, and her mission is to inspire through her storytelling the values of love, kindness, and compassion for others. We are going to invite everybody to learn more right away. Go to the website, Loving Lulu, L-U-L-U, so lovinglulu.com. It's actually, Awilda, I have to invite everybody to your website. It's so colorful and fun and simple. It's just easy. It was nice to be on your website, so thank you for creating that.
Well, thank you so much for that. I wanted it to be interactive, right? And I wanted it to be welcoming to everybody. So it's funny because as a children's book and because it's about a story about a little girl, you know, I didn't want it to just be attracting to little girls. So little girls, little boys, grandma, grandpa, anybody can come on and feel welcome and kind of like look on there, right? And kind of play around.
Yes, I felt like I was going, you know, it's all about, you know, I'm going to get you to say the word first and then I'll repeat it. But I think you have this, the book both in Spanish and in English. And okay, you say the grandmother's word in Spanish first.
Oh, abuelita.
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 Okay. Yes. And you know what's already fun is that your mission was to also, not mission, but you also wanted people to learn and have fun with languages. And even just now, I have learned this new word. I didn't know this word before. And so let's go here. What is the story all about? And why did you have to, why did you know you had to write this book?
Well, you know, I've always had a passion for writing, and I've always wanted to put out a children's book. So the other writing that I've done, I've worked on anthologies, but it's always been my heart to kind of put something out for children. And not just for children, but something that will be embraced by the adult that's reading it with the child, whether it's an adult or a teacher, a librarian, a caregiver, whoever. And when I was creating the character of Lulu, I always pictured her as bilingual. I mean, I grew up as bilingual, so you write about what you know about, right, is what you're comfortable with. So that's why Loving Lulu is mostly in English, but has kind of sprinkles of Spanish in there. And so, you know, the story of Loving Lulu, it's really inspired by our own personal journey with my mother who had dementia. And So I wanted to kind of put a book out there where people can, it's not a book about dementia. We don't mention mm-hmm. dementia in the story, and it's not in the dedication, but it's obviously, you know, a relationship between a little girl and her grandmother, and they spend a lot of time together because the little girl's mom is working, and so the grandmother is a caregiver, and they do all of these really great, fun activities together. They play together. She teaches her to cook, teaches her how to speak Spanish, and then all of a sudden, this little girl, she notices that there's changes happening, and so I wanted to write it through, you know, through the lens of a child, because as a child, they may not know what dementia means or may not understand that, but they understand that there's something different that's happening.
Yes.
And they just want to, in Lulu's story, she wants her grandmother to know that she still loves her, that she still feels loved. So she kind of thinks about what were the things that they did together and how that made her feel. And through that, she figures out she'll do these things with her grandmother so that her grandmother knows that she's still there and she's still present for her. So that's basically that's basically the story.
I love that. And, you know, it's so interesting that I like that it's, yes, in this particular case, there could be dementia or some mental illness going on or aging. But I love that that's not the focus, but it's definitely something that we all probably encounter with somebody that we love in our lives at some point. So whether we're a child, you mean, we can be 40. And so when we encounter something for the first time, it's kind of like we're a child because we don't know yet. We're uncomfortable. We're fumbling around. We don't, you know, we don't understand yet. And when you, so this is about your little, this is you, you're Lulu, right? Or are you?
I am Lulu, but it's also what I've observed from other people. So in my case, yes, I was my mom's caregiver. I was there a lot with her, where her, you know, her doctor's appointments, you know, to go visit and spend time with her. And dementia is something that, you know, you see this transformation in the person that you love where they just become a person you don't even know anymore. And it is so painful and difficult. And the one thing, I would spend a lot of time with my mom. We would go do our nails. We would go do our hair. We would go to the movies. We'd go have lunch. And it just, it's so painful when you kind of see that side of them just kind of fade away. And so it was important for me because even though she couldn't really vocalize or say who I was, I know that she recognized me as a family member. And so I kind of got to the point in where I would go visit and I really didn't know what to do. And it's not just something I went through. I see this with other people when they go visit. And sadly, I even see where people just stop going because they just don't know how to deal with that. And so really it was through some soul searching and just in conversations that I had with other caregivers that it was like, you know what, it's not just about vocally speaking your emotions or how you're feeling. We're gifted with all these other senses, right? We can see, we can hear, we can feel, we can taste. And so when I started to explore those options, and one of the very first things I would do, Lisa, is my parents would love to go dancing. They love to have parties. They would love to go dancing. And so when I'd visit my mom, I started playing her YouTube videos on my phone of like salsa dancing, things like that. And I thought, let's see if she responds to it. And it was just so funny because I could see her close her eyes and she would move her, you know, to the rhythm. Yes. And it was funny. One of the nurses pointed out, she's like, look, she's tapping her feet. You know, she kind of pointed under, and I looked under the table and I thought, so that's why it just kind of came to me like, I need to start figuring out how to make a connection with her in other ways because obviously she doesn't have that capacity to communicate with me speaking, but there's other ways that I could try to reach her. And so, you know, we started playing music. I would take, you know, cookies and we'd decorate cookies together. I would take her some of, you know, some of the foods that she, you know, that she would make for us. And she would just get so excited, right, when she would see those things. So, you know, up until, you know, the later part of her life, this is how we kind of spent our time together. And it's just about, you know, obviously they're still there, you know, and yes. We need to help them feel that they're still loved. And, you know, they're kind of lost in this world of dementia, which I don't know what that's like. But mm-hmm. I know that she kind of has moments where she can recollect, or she kind of makes that connection when she feels something that she recognizes.
Yeah, she's letting you know. That's the interesting thing. You said a couple things that I really want to circle back, but it's what has faded away is only what you had known. It's the memories, it's the past, it's that person that you believe them to be, but now they are still that valuable person. They're just expressing themselves differently too, because they're unable, you know, whether they're unable to or they're, but your love is still there. So it was an interesting situation for people who go through things like what you did, is you're mourning and saying like this goodbye to a way that you knew how to be with that person, but you're in this fun, creative, like, well, let's explore and find out new ways. So did you stop at that time and do that whole, okay, I'm mourning now this part and let's move forward? Or did you just transition, like you just allowed it to go?
You know what? I think it's something that, you know, you hear about the stages of loss and grief. And you, it's almost like you have to go through that, because at first you do feel anger, you feel frustration, because you don't, at least with me, it's like you don't really understand it fully. And I think part of that frustration is you can't feel what they're feeling or what they're going through. And it wasn't until I worked through Catholic Charities, I worked through different organizations where they helped to, through, you know, counseling and through meetings, I actually went through this exercise where it was like I was a person with dementia, and you can kind of understand or kind of grasp, you know, the muffled hearing, the blurry vision, you know, they can't pick up things. Like, yeah, you go through this whole like simulation process. And it was just like when I went through it, I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, wow. I can't imagine. I just went through it for like maybe 5 minutes. and I can't imagine what it's like to kind of be stuck in that situation. So it's almost like you kind of have to let yourself mourn that loss of that person that you used to know, and just learn to embrace, honestly, what's the new normal, right? It's just like, you know what, that person that I knew growing up isn't here. But physically, I still have someone here who's important. How am I going to carry on? Because the thing with a disease like dementia, it happens so fast, the transformation. And some people can live with it for many, many years. And some people, they're taken very soon. So with my mother, I mean, I think it was like 5 or 6 years that she lived with this. So it was quite a long time.
Yes.
We were able to get her diagnosed when she was in a moderate stage, but I had to unfortunately make a decision to have her be in assisted living when she couldn't be at, you know, at home alone anymore. Yes. Because I was always, you know, I work full time. So that was like really hard. And, you know, again, kind of committing to, okay, I'm still, just because she's over there, I'm still her caregiver. I'm still making decisions for her. You know, it's just, it's a really, really big step. It's a really big step. It's overwhelming, but it's really important. There's so many resources that are available that you reach out and you get that, and you get that advice and you get that help, and that you connect with other people that are kind of going through the same things, because it can feel very lonely sometimes. And it's really, really hard.
And that's the thing, it's lonely. It's lonely for you as well as the person going through, because it's a different thing for them. There's something, I just love that you said this. You still have someone there who's important. And I think that is the biggest thing right now to think about. If we're thinking about love in general, if you love someone and they've changed, they've been altered because maybe there's some brain damage, maybe they've been in a car accident, you know, we have different, maybe, you know, behavioral changes, maybe they're aging or have these things. But that person is still important and we love them. And so that's the reason that we continue to find those, what to do, how can I show this love? How can I, earlier I was doing a live about what stops us from loving? What stops us to say, well, you know what? They're not there anymore. It's not even the same person. I'm not going to visit anymore. Or what's the point? I'm not going to go. They don't even know me. And then we can even take it into somebody, I'm angry with this person for doing this, or so I'm just going to stop loving them. And I know we're going to go to commercial in just 1 minute, but if you could share, what is it we end up losing the most when we stop loving because they're changed?
Well, I think the thing we end up losing the most is the connection. I think the ability that you feel that you're able to reach out and connect with this person. And I think you have to think about, and sometimes we just forget, right? It's more than just speaking, but you can show someone that you love them through the things that you do. And it's not just about you being able to show, but that person has to be open or willing or ready to receive it.
I like that. Well, I know we're going to sneak away to commercial break, but when we come back, we are going to continue this connection of love and how do we show it, and how do we show it when we have to find out a whole new way of showing it. So come on back to Light on Living with Awilda Prignano. There we go. All
Prignano.
Right.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on OM Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of The Stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live, right here on OM Times Radio.
I'm so not good enough.
Fail.
They'll judge me.
I'm afraid.
So others
it's already
doing
been
it.
Done.
Who are you not to fully express who you are, to be your warrior of light and do business from your fierce, aligned energy? I'm Rosalind Fung, host of Activate Your Soulgasmic Business here on OM Times Radio. Let's get your business turned on to the next level. I invite you to hop on a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalindfung.com and let's monetize in your soul mission. Go to rosalynfung.com.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, you guys. It's a great day to learn to love again. And I'm here with Awilda Prignano, and we are just loving Lulu. That's what we're doing. We're loving Lulu because this little girl is determined and was determined. I don't know how to say it because it's a book, so she still is doing it. finding ways to show her grandmother, who was, you know, a shifting in her mind and getting dementia, having dementia, and still wanting to show her how that she mattered, that she loved, and she wanted to share the connection. And that's where we just left off there, Awilda, was I love that. What we end up losing when we stop showing love or can't figure it out or something disrupts is we lose that connection and the ability to reach out. And, you know, I didn't actually really think about this for so long until I was reading your book. And I love the characters. I love how it looks. It's all the illustrations are just beautiful. They're fun. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother actually was diagnosed with dementia. Now we're going, you know, over 30 years ago here, but she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, but it wasn't, it was dementia from a medication that she was on that she should not have been on, and it did brain damage. And so I was a little girl and I loved her so much. She was so interesting. We would do the neatest things. And then I became really afraid of her because it's the unknown, right? And I didn't know how to talk to her. I didn't know, because all she kept saying to everybody, you know, other than the very weird behaviors, was, get me out of here. I'm in prison. You guys are forcing me. Like, it was just this horrible situation. It was, my connection was broken, and I didn't know how to show love, and she wasn't able to receive it. And you just mentioned that when we come across anybody, somebody who's a little different than us or somebody that's altered a little bit, where can we start? Like, is it just by asking the question, how can I show love?
Well, it's funny because in the book, you know, Lulu has that moment where she says, what can I do? Mm-hmm. What can I do? And yes. So what she did was, and it, again, it's just, she's a little six-year-old girl. She just started to remember the things that they did together and how it made her feel. And so mm-hmm. through her resourcefulness, she thought, well, maybe I'll just start doing these things with my abuelita when I go see her, because it'll help to trigger, or she's hoping it'll help to trigger those mm-hmm. feelings in her abuelita again. So sometimes it's just as simple as just looking within ourselves, and it's just like, how was I, you know, if you're having a situation, a confrontation, or just something with a person, I think you just need to kind of get to the core of where am I with this? You know, where, I guess it's kind of, it's almost like peeling back the onion, right? And just getting to the core of what are my feelings around this? How do I feel around this person? When did it start to change? So I think it just depends on what stage we're at in life, right?
Yes.
You know, obviously when you're older, you're able to kind of dissect and maybe figure more things out, but you know, getting back to the story, Lulu, she's a little child, and she's dealing, she just notices things aren't the same with her grandmother, and she's mm-hmm. just looking for a way to reconnect. And so she kind of searches within herself to remember what were some of those things, you know, those beautiful memories that they created, they're still with her. And so she says, she asked herself, what could I do? Well, this is what she could do. This is what she could offer. So sometimes it's just as simple as going back like that. You know, it's something you mentioned with, you know, sometimes we decide for ourselves, we stop loving a person because we're angry, because we're frustrated. Mm. But sometimes it's just getting to the core of what really yeah. happened. I always believe it's a two-way street. Right. It's not yes. just a one-way street. It's a two-way street. So it's not just about how is the person giving love, but is the other person receiving it? And sometimes you can try to give love in the only way that you know, but if the other person doesn't realize that that's what you're trying to offer them, then the communication is broken. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
For example, you know, I can remember, like any other teenager growing up, you kind of have, you know, with your mom back, exactly, rebellion. And I can remember I was with a counselor at school, and we were kind of talking it through. And I just, I don't know, we just don't get along. And my counselor started asking, you know, about different things, you know, well, how does your mother, you know, what does your mother do for you, blah, blah, blah. And my mom, one thing growing, I mean, my entire life, she's just this amazing cook, this amazing cook. Everybody knew that. And she says, well, this is how she shows you love. Maybe she doesn't say I love you every day, but she's showing you love through her, your, you know, food, through her cooking. And it just made me think. And that's honestly, Lisa, that's like the first time I went back to, you know, thinking about what are the different ways of showing and receiving love was through that kind of aha moment that I had as a teenager with the counselor when she said that to me, because it was something that I'd never even thought of. You know, I'd never even thought of the love that my mother would put in her cooking. That was her showing us love, not just us, but everybody that she fed. So
I literally imagined her putting love into the cooking. I could just actually, for a second, I was just picturing your story there and thinking, oh, yeah, there she goes. She just put it in there. She didn't, instead of the words coming out of the mouth maybe that day, she just went, bup, 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 and it goes.
It's true. It's true. If you think about all of the things that you do for yourself, the excitement, the passion, the feeling that you put into it, whether it is cooking or whether, you know, you're creating something else, if you're creating a piece of art, if you're getting dressed in the morning or putting makeup on, you know what I mean? If you think about the mood or the vibe that you're in, this is how, you know, it's kind of corny to say it, but it's just like, are you doing it with love? Are you doing it with love for yourself or for love for your partner or for someone else that you're interacting with?
I have it, Wilda, I just love that you're saying this so much, because it's like we say, you know, you hear that there's love in the food and it's made with love. But, you know, when my mother was alive and she was really sick, she used to always, what she was so awesome at doing is she always found the perfect earrings or jewelry to go with her outfit. And that was so important to her. So I love my earrings. I always am wearing earrings. But I started really, when I was going to go visit my mom and have a cup of tea with her, I'd really take the time to choose the right earrings to go with that, because I knew it would make, that's a good match, you know, and I like that together. And what kind of backing is that, you know? And it was really a way to connect and tell her, I care that this is important to you. And it was really fun. And it was exciting to get, choose the top or the blouse or whatever, the earrings. So thank you for just reminding me that and pointing it to everybody else listening, that that's a way to show love. That's so brilliant, Wilda. Oh, I love that.
Yes. It really is. And honestly, when I have this conversation, you know, with strangers and they find out that I have this children's book and, oh, what's your children's book about? And when I start to share that message and it's about what's the love that you're putting out, you know, it's, I've had it said to me so many times, oh my God, you just taught me something. And it's not about that I taught them. It's almost like I reminded them of, you know what? Love is bigger. You know, love isn't just about saying I love you and that's it and buying roses or flowers, you know, whatever, chocolate candy. But it's about what's the love, what's the interaction that you're having with other people every day. It could be within your family, it could be between friends, it could even be, if you think about like business relationships, kind of the care and the emotion that you put into everything that you do. That's kind of how you're identifying yourself, right?
Yes, I love that. I do. You know, so many things, gosh, you know, even when we share, you know what? I think it's kind of when we post something that we love and we reshare it. You know, when you say, I really, this made me happy, this little meme or this picture or something, we post it. That's in a way showing love too. And then the other people who are connecting with it, that's why they give us the thumbs up or the hearts, because they love it. And you're like, that's showing love too, this connection.
Right. So it's funny, Lee. So one of the most important, you know, additions that we did to the book, because the book evolved, right, from just the little story that I started with, is I really wanted it to be interactive. And so we have a little call to action section where at the end of the story, Lulu asks the question to the children reading the book. Well, now it's your turn. Mm-hmm. So there's that one page. I don't know if you saw it, but it kind of asks the questions. Well, what are some songs you like to sing? What are some dances that you like to do? Just to kind of help to, you know, to trigger it and say, these are all the different ways. And you can, you know, there's a list of maybe like six or seven things on there, but you can like make it so much longer, right? It can be so much more. Because if you think about all of the different ways that you can share and show love, it's endless.
Yes. Yes. And you can keep a list. You can just like keep adding to the list. You know, maybe you couldn't think of something today. Like I put that Facebook, the live out earlier. And at first, when I first asked myself what came up was I couldn't figure out how I show love. I actually figured out how I was stopping at first going, you know, how I might be not so gentle with myself and stopping that connection and stopping the love. But there's something really fun with you. Well, I mean, the whole book is fun. It's just really a beautiful written book. But you have an accompanying book with it. So I just want you, I want you to share with everybody about the Wonderful Kitchen, the book, and why did you know that was going to be that? Did that happen from requests from reading the book?
Well, it's funny. Well, first of all, the book is available in English and Spanish. And I wanted to, along with the whole how do you show love, you know, food was such a huge connection, I guess, way of communicating love in my life, in my family growing up, because my mother was this amazing cook. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to kind of offer the readers a little bonus, a little add-on of how can I show them love, or how can I give it as a thank you for purchasing the book. So if they visit my website and they purchase the book, it's available as a hardcover and a softcover. I have on there In the Kitchen with Abuelita. And in the little book, there's little recipes, some of our favorite recipes, you know, that children with their abuelita or with their mom or their dad, they can go ahead and try some of these recipes. It is available in English and in Spanish, and it's completely free to the readers once they place the order of the book. But it's my way to say thank you, but it's also my way to put out
just
love.
Continue sharing it. Yes. Tell me, they're probably all your favorite, but what's one of your favorite recipes that's in there that you just love?
That's in there? Yeah. Lucy's potato salad, which is my mom's potato salad. I have it now and I think of her, you know what I mean? It's just, it's one of our favorite. It's something that I only have in the holidays. It's funny. The holidays especially bring a lot of memories of my mother, because my mother, she was one of those people, she was cooking for days and the house smelled was so delicious. You know, you'd wake up to all these amazing smells. So, it's hopefully, you know, some of these recipes, they'll go well with this season. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, my dream is to develop this into a series. I do have more stories that I want to develop into books. You know, Lulu is a little character. This is a book centered around Lulu and her grandmother, but you know, she has pets and she has friends. And so there are more stories down the road. So I'm hoping that this is going to do well and I can develop this into a series for Lulu.
I love that. Well, on that note, I want to read a few little things here. Reviews from some people. And I love this one. You get lots of nice 5 stars. And we welcome anybody who does get the book to please leave a review. This helps out so many other people of when they're choosing the book, like this is for me and I need this because we, and also Awilda, you'd probably love to hear what people are feeling around this. So this is one review that came in. It says, Loving Lulu is a beautiful, heartfelt story that children and adults can feel and see themselves through Lulu. The nostalgic details of, Abuelita, as Lulu spoke of her, transported me to my own childhood memories of Abuelita. So I thought that was beautiful right there. Awilda did such a beautiful job in identifying children's emotions and making the story interactive. And I can't forget to mention how cute Lorraine's illustrations are. They really are. It totally completes the story. Extremely excited and looking forward for stories about Lulu. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that was when transported back. I love that you said that sometimes we'll stand where we are and just say, I don't know, I can't do this, or I can't find it. Or I love that we talked about finding the spark. But the thing is sometimes we can read a story and be transported or be shown or be reminded. I love that you said that, reminded of a time when we could and we did. And And thank you for going back. When you were going back to Lulu's time, like going back into childhood, did it take a while to kind of go back into it, or is it just like a flash? Like you just go, whoop, there I am.
You mean when I was creating the character of Lulu?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, it's funny. Lulu is, she's a combination of me as a child. She's a combination of even my daughter as a child.
Aww, yes.
You know, growing up in a bilingual household, it's funny because you kind of, when you're a child, the only world you know is just what's around you, right? And
yes.
I can just remember just naturally growing up and hearing everything in English and in Spanish, you know, the TV, the radio, the newspapers, my parents got it. It was very important for them, for us to be raised bicultural. And it's funny, as a child, I thought this was normal. I thought everybody's family was like this.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I was in school, and I remember I was engaging with one of my classmates, and I just innocently asked, I said, well, what other languages do you speak? And they were like, we don't speak other languages. And so then you kind of open up. You're like, oh, okay, my family's a little different. But, you know, I think you have to really embrace who you are, and you have to really love that person and really love and appreciate, right, the gifts that your parents gave you, you know, growing up, raising you the only way that they knew how, right?
Yes.
So
it's a unique
again,
code.
Yes, yes. So in creating the character of Lulu, she's kind of a combination of a lot of people, of kind of how I grew up. And you know, like I said, I see my daughter in her. I see myself in her, other little girls. So she's not like this mirror image of me. I wouldn't describe her that way, no.
Not just the memoirs. Well, I know we're going to sneak away to our final commercial break, everybody, but come on back because I know it. I feel that everybody is reconnecting here. They're opening up the channel to love, lots of giving and receiving. So come on back for some more with Awilda Pignano. Here we go.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, light workers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalyn Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All right. We're back with Awilda Pignano, and I'm loving Lulu. And I'm going to begin this final segment here of our wonderful show together with reading another review because something fun comes up in it. So let me see here. Loving Lulu is a wonderful book to read. It is a story about love, compassion, and family. A great book for children to read on their own with their families. The audio version has a soothing and comforting tone and is pleasant to hear. The illustrations fit the storyline with use of variety of vivid colors. It sure does. I give the book a 5 stars. So I love that you have an audio version of this. You really, Awilda, for your first solo book, like, I can't believe you've just got it all. You've got the book, you've got the accompanying cooking book, you've got some fun swag with it, you've got the reviews, and the audio version. And I know you have a fun story because we started talking about it earlier. I want to talk about the footwork you did, but the audio version, you pulled this all together so quickly and just got all the pieces here. So tell me about the audio version, both Spanish and English.
Yes. So I had a very, you know, it's funny. I had a vision about how I wanted to evolve this. And it's like kind of, for me, it's always kind of go big or go home. So some people like to start small and little bit. And I'm like, no, I want to do it all. I want to have the book and I want to have it in English and Spanish and, you know, the ebook. And then I thought an audio, why not an audio? Because audio, especially nowadays, if they're traveling in the car or on an airplane or whatever, it's so convenient, right, for parents. And so I thought, I have to have an audio. And the thing with the audio is I wanted it to be very animated. I wanted it to be very, so everything that's in the book, it's almost like it really comes to life in the audio because you hear the music and you hear the sounds and you hear the giggles of the babies and you hear, it kind of helps to elevate that emotion feeling because you're able to hopefully visualize it a little better with the audio. And, you know, I it was important for me to do it in English and in Spanish, obviously. Spanish is my parents are from Puerto Rico and that's their first language. And I thought, you know, in honor of them, I wanted to have it available in English and in Spanish so that people can enjoy it. You know, whoever's able to listen, that they're able to enjoy it. So when I was doing research for my book, again, you know, I had a vision but I went into my local library and I hung out at the kids department and I was looking at different books. And when I had images and mock-ups of my book, I actually reached out to the librarians and I said, would you have a moment? Can you take a look? And it was really important for me to get their feedback because I wanted to be sure that I was getting this right. You know, this was my first book, you know, it was my first foray into the, you know, children's writing. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, the pictures, the images, even the words that I was using, I said, you know, is this something that a child at this level, is this an appropriate topic? Because like we said, it can be kind of a heavy topic if you really delve into it. But the way it's communicated in the book, it's communicated in a way that's just, it doesn't feel heavy. It doesn't feel, I don't think it feels negative. You know, obviously it's something that needs to be addressed. It's almost kind of a lesson, right, that's kind of learned and shared. Yes. Or kind of an aha moment more that's learned and shared. But I reached out to librarians. I reached out to a few teacher friends of mine, and I said, can you take a look? It was really important for me to kind of have that input from different perspectives just to make sure that I was on the right track with this.
Yes. I love that you did that. I think that by, you know, making sure that the languaging, the vocabulary, was it at a level that they could understand? Was it, you know, one of the librarians actually write a review for you. So I do want to read that. And the reason why I'm reading the reviews, it's actually something I don't think I've done. But I really wanted to do this and read these reviews because it helps the people who are listening right now almost to kind of feel like, okay, what am I going to get out of when I go online and purchase the book, right? And so this is a little bit of a helpful thing here. So wonderful librarian, and she's retired now. So she has definitely put her time in, it sounds like, and she saw a lot. So I love that she has that experience. But in Loving Lulu, Awilda Pregnano offers the young children an opportunity to maintain a relationship with a dementia-affected elder. The gentle text is Spanish and English, and the illustrations are warm and charming. The book is recommended for a large and/or special collections of children's literature. And that is a perfect word right there, literature. Isn't it interesting that we're talking about how to show love, but it's a piece of literature on how to continue loving and love the connection and that flow. It's literally, you're writing about love. I love this.
So if we're
thinking, so we've got Lulu, she's learning from Abuelita. Did I say that right?
Yes,
I'm getting good. See,
you're
going to
be speaking Spanish when we're done with this.
Yes. You know what's funny? Everybody who knows me knows I'm an absolute love cats, and I know how to say gâteau. I know the word for cats in French or in Spanish. So that was the one thing. But it is fun to learn another language, and there can be a love of that. Your big vision, because you said, you know, you have this really nice big vision that it's evolving. Do you see it always kind of flowing with love as its base, or are there other emotions and words or themes that have come up for you for what the series is going to look like?
Well, definitely, I think the conversation of sharing kindness and love is important. I think there's like a never-ending need for that. If you look around at the world today and everything we're going through, sometimes it's like, gosh, if everybody would just kind of step back and just try to be nicer to each other. Maya Angelou, she's one of my favorite writers, poets, and she has this quote, and it goes, people won't remember what you said or what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. And so I always think about that, and I think every story that I share will always have that undertone of how we were made to feel and how we make others feel when they're around us, because I think it's really important, and I think it's important to kind of embed that message into children, because what they hear and what they see now, that's how they're going to grow. Right?
Yes.
They're paying attention. They're so observant to the role models all around them, whether that be their parents, their teachers, their friends, their neighbors, whoever, the people on TV. This is kind of the messages that are being embedded in them. So I think it's so important to keep sharing stories out there that will help them in that development as they grow. I don't think there's enough stories that can go out there to tell to kind of keep that lesson going, because, like I said, there's so many people I talk to, and when they find out I've got the children's book and what it's about, they're like, oh my God, thank you for saying that. That reminds, it kind of makes them go, aha, that's right. And when you hear it, it's so simple, but it's so easy to kind of have it get lost in so many other things that we go through day to day, right? We get so involved and we forget. And I think it's so important that we're reminded that we need to be respectful in how we treat each other. And, it starts with within you.
I love that I'm thinking of like, you're going to be the person who has, aha memories as opposed to aha moments, like it's an aha memory. Oh, right. I had an aha memory. I'm going to ask you a question as a love expert. Phew, there you go. I'm putting you on the hot seat for a love showing expert. Well, it's something that I don't want to say I struggle with, but it's something that I you know, if I just avoid it, it's easy. It doesn't bother me. But of course, I don't, you know, can't avoid it with everybody. But I am not an affectionate person at all, really. And it makes me uncomfortable a little bit. But my family, I love them so much. And we all love. And I mean, I don't say it probably because I was like, well, I don't have to say it. I show it all the time. And we all know we love each other. We have cups of tea together and we exchange information. We tell stories and we share moments. But my nieces, when my sister had babies, they're so snuggly and want to like lean on you and hug you and close to you. And I would let them because, you know, I know that they need their children. Because like what you said, these children, they observe and they're feeling it and this is how they grow. But I'm always so uncomfortable. And I do those awkward hugs, like tap, tap on the shoulder hug, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, like, there's all these ways of showing love. What do we do, love expert? Love showing expert. When there's two people with different languages, different vocabulary of showing their love, but we do, and we want to let them know that we love them. Do we just be uncomfortable and do that? Or do we let them know, hey, actually, this isn't my way, but it doesn't mean I can't do it. Yeah, I guess that's the thing. What do we do when it's different languages of love?
That's an interesting question. I don't know that we'll have an answer, but, you know, a suggestion that I could offer is, I don't know. It's almost like you don't want to force yourself on a person. You almost have to kind of do it in steps until they get the message. I mean, I don't know that it's I can think of a situation, you know, but the thing is that it's almost like you have to learn to come down to a level where you're able to understand each other. And yes. I don't know if there's an easy way in the next few minutes to kind of decide, well, how's it going to be? But as an individual person, you can only control you. Mm-hmm. So I would say, don't be so obsessed or whatever with the other person. You just try to put forth the best that you can do, or the best way that you can show love. If it's giving a hug, if it's buying a cookie or making cookies together, if it's you know, playing music or going to the movies, you're just able to control on your end what you can control, and then hopefully the other person or the other group of people on the other end, eventually they'll open up and be ready to receive, and maybe they've been trying to show love in a way that you couldn't fully understand. So hopefully it'll help open up your own eyes.
Yes, you know, that's so true, because they would always say, Auntie Lisa, you know, come and watch this YouTube video. And all I could think about was, God, I don't want to be on YouTube right now. Are you kidding me? I want to visit with my family. But then I realized that was their way of, let me show you what makes me happy. Let me show and share this moment with me. And you're right. I love, Wilda, that was actually so well said. We can control how we show love and give love. So be mindful and make sure that you are open. And I love that you said about stages and steps, and also in that openness and being kind, because that you're being kind to take those steps, different things will evolve, different things will show, and perspectives will shift on both parties. Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that's what I gathered. That's what I got from you.
No, it is great. And the thing is that you have to be open and ready and willing to receive it, right? Because if you're not, you're going to miss those signals. You're going to miss that.
Yes. Open to signals. I think that's a great thing right there too. The more we can be just willing and able to kind of open up. I've got the song Ready, Willing, and Able, Doors Day now in my head. But open to a signal. So even if we're not ready to do it yet, we could be open to a signal. Oh, I like that. That's opening
absolutely.
Up, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's invite everybody one more time to what are the steps that they can do right now? We know we can go to lovinglulu.com. What would they do when they get there?
There's a few things on there. There's the shop where they can kind of check out. We've got t-shirts, mugs, all these different things if they'd like to, you know, go that way. We've got our books that are available on there. If you buy a hardcover, softcover, you're more than welcome to also grab a free copy of the Little Cookbook. And everything is available in English and Spanish. Yes. I also want to encourage people. We have our Facebook page, Loving Lulu Stories. And on there, yes, what I would really like to see is, you know, we've asked those questions, that call to action. If people would like to share maybe some of the ways they show, you know, they like to express and show love. You know, if they would kind of answer some of those questions that we ask, we can kind of start a conversation as a community about the different ways that there are to express and communicate love. So, and it's not just for children. I mean, it's like for grown-ups too. They're all welcome to open and share. You know, so that's kind of a start that I have. Lulu's presence on social media will grow as time goes. But for right now, we've got our website and we've got our Facebook page. I'm still working on her Instagram and Twitter account.
I love how you say her Insta. It's so cute.
Yeah, well, it is hers. It's her account, and I'm managing it for her.
Yes, that's amazing. I love that. Well, first of all, I want to just say, because as we wrap up here, to everybody, you know, I love, Wilda, that you said it's not just for children, because even today, me asking that question, what are the ways that I show love, it brought up so much. And I think the conversation, what you just said, start the conversation, get everybody, go over to Loving Lulu Stories Facebook page, and I love that, share how you love, because as maybe you've been right there and you share, I don't know how. And then somebody else can help show you. So I'm loving this invitation, Wilda. This is just beautiful. And also make sure you're friends with Wilda. It's A-W-I-L-D-A, Wilda Prignano, P-R-I-G-N-A-N-O. So, yes. Wilda, thank you so much for being here with me today. It's been absolutely so much fun and eye-opening.
Thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it, Lisa. Always a great time. Thank you.
Oh, it's absolutely so much fun, you guys. So let us know your aha memories. We can't wait to hear from you. Get a hold of Wilda Prignano and go find out how Loving with Lulu goes. All right, lovinglulu.com, everybody. Go get your free cookbook when you purchase a hard copy or soft copy. We'll talk to you guys soon next week. Okay, bye, everyone. Bye, Wilda.
Bye, Lisa. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.